The audio track you're about to listen to was recorded at Life Streams Christian Church in South Perth, Western Australia. For more information, please visit our website at www.lifestreamcc.com.
Morning, it is so good to be gathered here together today. Before we hop into the message this morning, we've got some great family things that we would like to do. And also like to remind you about next Sunday. Next Sunday is our Appreciation Sunday. It's a day of celebrating you, the wonderful people of this church who serve and give of their time, give of their resources. So we're going to give you the morning off. If you have a regular gig that you do in the morning on a Sunday, we're going to give you that Sunday off. Now, that doesn't mean that you're allowed to sleep in and not come to church. We want you to come to church and enjoy a morning where you don't have to serve. And all of the staff are going to serve you. And we're going to hopefully do a really bad job. No, we'll try our best, but hopefully it'll illustrate just how important you are to making church happen on a Sunday. So that's the first thing. And then we've got a party in the evening, and we need you to RSVP for that, because a party with not enough food is not a very good party. So we need to know if you're coming so that we can make sure that we've got heaps of food. So that's the first thing. We also want to celebrate some engagements. I believe Michael Petrosian and Nicola Story are here this morning. And we just want to go, yes, it's great that you're engaged. And this... he's actually not sitting next to his bride-to-be. And I don't know what's going on there, but we'll, I'm sure it's all good. But congratulations, guys. We are thrilled. There's love in the air, which is fantastic. Now, it's my privilege to introduce to you a beautiful family in the life of our church. We've got Ryan Mel Beaver. If you could come up. And they're going to bring up and introduce to you the great little man, the cute little man, Liam. So why don't you give them a hand as they come up? So Rye and Mel Beaver, and this is the little man, Liam. Liam Southgate. How cool is that? Why don't you just give us a bit of a background on Southgate, because you don't kind of hear a middle name like Southgate very often.
It's a family name that was sort of part of our families in the early 1800s, and so it's come, I suppose, down through the oldest male. So Dad is Arthur Southgate, I am, and then Liam is as well. So.
Oh, great. Great little tradition. You hold on to that. It's fantastic to be able to celebrate with you this morning Liam's dedication to the Lord. And just read a couple of scriptures. Psalm 127 verse 3 says, children are a gift from God. We say amen to that. Most days of the week we say amen to that. Luke 2 verse 22, we read that Mary and Joseph brought their baby Jesus to the temple in Jerusalem in order to present him before the Lord. And I guess in the same way, Mel and Rye want to bring Liam before you, their church, but also before their God. And so today, as we dedicate Liam, we essentially want to do three things. Firstly, we want to acknowledge God's sovereignty over this family. And when I say acknowledge God's sovereignty, all I'm trying to say there is that he has supreme power over this family. And secondly, we want to pray, just as Mel and Rye are praying, that one day Liam will grow up knowing Jesus Christ as his own personal Lord and Saviour. And thirdly, Rye and Mel want to present Liam to you and to God, just as Mary and Joseph presented Jesus to the church. And basically asking for grace, for wisdom, and for help in carrying out their parental responsibilities. Now, Rye, I believe you just wanted to say a couple of words, which would be fantastic.
Look, I think we feel really blessed to have Liam as part of our family, but also just the wider family, friends, and the church family. And I suppose there's that saying about it takes a village. And I think in the 6 months we've had Liam, and through the pregnancy and everything. We've had huge support from a variety of people, and we know that we can trust and rely on that in the future. So thank you very much.
Yeah, it's awesome, mate. Well, church, can we, as a symbol of our love for this family and our commitment to them, stand? And I would love to pray blessing over them. So let's pray. Jesus, we thank you for the Beaver family. This morning, we particularly want to commit Liam Southgate to you. It's our prayer, God, that this little man will grow up loving you, loving the church, and praying that one day he will trust you as his own personal Lord and Saviour. And Lord, we also want to commit his future to you, his education, his friends, Lord. Place people around him who are going to encourage his person and encourage his faith. Lord, we pray for his future job. We pray that it's one that builds your kingdom. And if it's your will, Lord, we pray for his future wife and for his family. And Lord, we also recognize that Mel and Rye have the most important part to play in raising Liam. And we ask you to help them to do this to the best of their ability. And I pray that they will recognize that they are in the most important people in his spiritual development. And I pray that they will do everything to disciple him in his kingdom life. And I also pray that you would help us as a church to partner with them as we together seek to help Liam find and follow you. Lord, Liam is yours. Grow him into the man of God that you want him to be. In the powerful and the mighty name of Jesus, we all pray this and we all agree by saying amen. 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 God bless you guys. God bless you, little man. It's awesome. Please take a seat. Quick, before you go, we've got a little certificate here that we just like to mark this special occasion, so present that to you.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Let's thank the Beaver family. Awesome. Well, today is the last Sunday, our last Sunday, in the book of 1 Timothy. We've been on a bit of a journey, and we've had the theme of taking hold of our kingdom life. And we hope that you've enjoyed the series. I've enjoyed the series. It's been great reading and listening to Paul coach Timothy and to urge him to take hold of his kingdom life. And I hope it's encouraged you, and today we'll encourage you to do the same. Next week, we start a new series. Next week, we start a new series entitled, just a slight tweak to taking hold of our kingdom life, and we've changed that first word to pursuing your kingdom life. And it's one thing to take hold, but it's also another thing to run and to pursue and to get after this thing that we call our kingdom life. And we're going to do that based on three chapters, chapters 5 through to 7 in the book of Matthew, which you might know as the Sermon on the Mount. And so we're really looking forward to jumping into the Sermon of the Mount. We're especially looking forward to spending the next 14 weeks in this, because as you read chapters 5 through to 7, you'll notice that most of it is in red letters. Who's got one of those Bibles that has Jesus' words as the red letters? So we're going to spend 14 weeks looking at the words of Jesus, which we're super excited about. But we're also really excited about encouraging you to continue to pursue this kingdom life. So let's pray as we jump into looking at these last 10 verses in 1 Timothy. Let's pray. Jesus, my simple prayer this morning is that you would speak to each and every one of us. And Lord, as I pray that, I want to pray for our children, Lord, in their areas as well. Speak to the kids this morning in their Water's Edge and in Discovery Cove. And do that by your Spirit, and do that as we read your word. In the name of Jesus. Amen. So today, we are going to look at the final five words, starting with the letter F. Okay? I did actually have the title, we're going to look at the final five words. The final five F words, but I thought, well, that might be a bit risque. So I've gone with that. And it's obviously in our last 10 verses. You've got a community life there. Inside your community life, there's a place where you can take some notes. And I would encourage you to do that. Even if you think I'm not that great, you know, just write some stuff down. You know, if you think, oh, you know, this guy, what is he on? Just write some stuff down, because when you write things down, it cements it into your heart and into your life. So there's a note page there. And I guess as I prepared for this message today, and in a moment we're going to read these 10 verses, but as I prepared for this message and as I read this passage, it felt like I was in a huddle. I was in a huddle at three-quarter time in one of the grand finals that I've had the privilege of being able to play in. You know, we've played in a couple of basketball grand finals when I was a lot younger. And it felt like we were in the huddle at three-quarter time, and the coach, all of our attention is focused on the coach. We're in there, we're focused on him, and he is imploring us. He is imploring us. He is pleading with us to stay focused. He is commanding us to remember the basics, to remember the things that we did in training. And he says to us, men, take hold of this moment. Take hold of this moment. And it sounded a little bit like this. Let's have a look at this clip.
This is our big moment.
Not just another game.
If it is to be, it is up to me.
Victory will only come from a team effort.
And the loneliest place in the world is out on the MCG before 100,000 people when you've lost the grand final.
Remember, we've trained harder than anybody else.
You've got to find the will to get up and go on with it. You get knocked down to get up again.
Just never, never, never give in or give up in any way.
Screw up your courage and we won't fail.
Don't come back years up the track and say, I wish I could have my time all over again. What you got to do if you got to win this game today? Not only you got to play it moment by moment, contest by contest, quarter by quarter, and regardless of what the score is, do not accept what's going on.
Bring it onto the ground. Don't have it here in theory or words from my mouth. Take it out there.
Just do something. Don't think about it all. Just do something.
And let's win this match.
When the occasions come, lead by example. Lift yourself and win the contest. That will win the game. In every game there is going to be a crossroad. And when you get to that crossroad, you either step up or you step down. It is an entitled, all up to you. You make the decision, not me.
Stir something in you? I hope it did, because I watched that and I was like, yeah, let's get out. Let's win. Let's win this race that's marked out for us. So if I start yelling at you a bit today, I'm sorry. I'll apologise in advance. But there's five AFL legend coaches there just taking us through their three-quarter time addresses. Just incredibly inspiring. And it's funny, I remembered a mate of mine telling me about one of his coaches in an inspirational three-quarter time speech. He said something along the lines of this. He said, Noah never gave up. He marched and he marched around those walls of Jericho until they fell down. And I think he kind of got his couple of inspirational stories mixed up there, but I think you get my drift. So here we have Coach Paul, and we have him giving his final charge, giving his final address to Timothy in this book. And so let's read it out. 1 Timothy 6, verse 11, and you can follow along with me on the screen. Out of the NIV this morning, and it says this. You might want to put your earplugs in. But you, man of God, flee from all of this and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. In the sight of God, who gives life to everything, and of Christ Jesus, who, while testifying before Pontius Pilate, made the good confession. Timothy, I charge you to keep this command without spot or blame until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which God will bring about in his own time. God, the blessed and only ruler, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, who alone is immortal and who lives in unapproachable light, whom no one has ever seen or can see. To him be honour and might forever. Amen. Paul, the greatest kingdom life coach, implores Timothy, implores the church in Ephesus, and implores us today to flee, to follow righteousness, to fight the good fight of the faith. He then interestingly goes on, as we'll see in a moment, and makes some comments about finances, and then he concludes with some final comments to Timothy, encouraging him to be faithful in his kingdom life. Notice all the words starting with the letter F. Let's look at our first word. Our first word is flee. It's flee. 1 Timothy 6:11 says, "But you, man of God, flee," or "flee from all of this." Flee from all of this. So I want to take a time out here and just get you to think about this question. What do you think is the greatest compliment you could ever receive? What is the greatest thing that somebody could say to you and you think, wow, that is powerful? I want you to turn to the person next to you and just say, I think it might be this if someone said this. Let's do that. What is the greatest compliment you could receive? I don't know about you, and I don't know what you said. There's probably 50 things that you've talked about. But for me, it would be somebody referring to me as a man of God. For me, it would be someone who said, "You are, Beth Robartson, you are a woman of God." Greatest compliment anyone could receive, in my mind. And here we have Paul saying to Timothy, calling him a man of God. He's complimenting him. And then Paul says, "Man of God, flee. Man of God, flee." I don't know about you, but there's something a bit weird about that. There's something a bit wrong with, to me, that doesn't sound right. It doesn't sound very man of God to me. You know, man of God, flee. However, there are times in the Word when fleeing was a sign of great wisdom. You might remember Joseph fled when he was tempted by his master's wife in Genesis 39. So what is Paul urging Timothy to flee from? And I actually reckon he's not encouraging Paul. He's not actually urging Paul to physically flee. But what he's actually doing is encouraging him and asking him to separate himself. To separate himself from the divisiveness of the false teachers who were proud and loved to quarrel about words, and to separate himself from the love of money and the love of greed. And we spent some time on that in those previous verses. This verse is very much linked to those first 10 verses that we looked at last week. Timothy, don't physically flee, but flee from those things. Separate yourself from those things. So let me ask you two questions. And the first one is this. If you are someone, and this came, if you did the small group questions during the week, you might hear this again. But if you are someone who likes to debate and argue, especially around biblical issues and biblical themes, what are you doing to flee from unhealthy interest in controversy? Let me read that again. If you are someone who likes to debate and argue, especially around biblical issues, what are you doing to flee from an unhealthy interest in controversy. I know some of us are a little more wired that way. We like to ask the tough questions. But are we doing that in a way that is bringing unity or bringing division? The second question I want to ask is this. What are you doing to flee from the love of money in a culture that is in love with money? That one is a question that I am deeply challenged by. What am I doing to flee from the love of money in a culture that is in love with money? It's worth thinking about. Our first word, starting with the letter F, is flee. Our second word, starting with the letter F, is follow. Is follow. And it goes on and it says, and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Paul says to Timothy, Timothy, flee from those things. Flee from those negative things. And then follow this way. It's almost like he says, we don't want to only be known for the things that we oppose, but rather these things that we propose. And I think this is where, as Christians, we can get a little bit sidetracked. You know, talking and arguing and highlighting and debating all of the things that are wrong with the world, all of the things that are wrong with the church, all of the things that are wrong with the leadership of the church, but do nothing to actually make a difference. Timothy, if you want to make a real lifelong difference, deepen your commitment to Jesus. Deepen your commitment to Jesus and make these things your lifelong pursuit. Constantly strive for, and there's that, I'm going to group them here. Constantly strive for righteousness and godliness. It's the first thing I want you to be known for, righteousness and godliness. And what does he mean by this? Well, I think he means that it's about personal integrity. It's about personal integrity, and it's about having an open and an obedient relationship with God. Righteousness and godliness is actually about character development and conduct. So Timothy, pursue righteousness and godliness. Secondly, pursue faith and love. Faith and love. And that is a trust and a dependence upon God and a willingness to sacrifice for others. Then he goes on, pursue endurance and gentleness. And it's almost like he's saying, hey, Timothy, you're going to need endurance in this race. If you want to finish this race, you're going to need endurance. And if you are going to finish this race, you're going to need gentleness. And it's interesting that when you do a little bit of a study on the word gentleness, you know, maybe some of the men in the room go, oh, don't tell me to be gentle. But gentleness is actually also been written as this. It's power under control. Power under control. I can handle that. That's much better than the word gentleness, but hopefully you get what I'm trying to say there. You know, Timothy, you're going to need these things. You're going to need endurance to run the race, and you're going to need power under control to deal with those who are out to cause disunity and strife. Timothy, it's these things. It's righteousness, it's godliness, it's faith, it's love, it's endurance and gentleness. It's these things that are going to make you a man of God. It's those things that are going to make you a woman of God. Pursue these virtues and you'll be effective in your ministry and you'll be able to live out this kingdom life. So a question to you. Which of these virtues, the six virtues, which of these virtues do you need to pursue as an area of growth in your kingdom life? which one of those six virtues is the Spirit just going boom for you right now? Is it personal integrity? Is it godly conduct, character and conduct? Is it faithfulness? Is it sacrificial love? Is it endurance? Or do you need to work on the area of gentleness, power under control? Our second word, starting with the letter F, is follow. Our third word, starting with the letter F in our passage this morning, is the word fight. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. You'll notice there that that is actually 1 Timothy 6:12, and that's this verse is what we based the whole series on, of taking hold of your kingdom life. And fight here means to exert every ounce of energy. It also implies continuous struggle. This thing's not going to be easy, church. This life, this kingdom life is not going to be easy, Timothy. It doesn't say, if you would like to, or if you have some space, or if the weather is fine, just casually go on fighting the good fight. Doesn't say that, does it? Church, there is no Facebook maybe button here. You know that one we press when we're like, don't want to commit? We all do it. We make sure that we keep our options open because something better might come up. But it actually says here, exert every ounce of energy. Running, boxing, wrestling, as you take hold of your kingdom life. Exert every ounce of energy. This verse urges us to be disciplined. It urges us to be purposeful. Just like a soldier in a spiritual battle, and just like an athlete who is running this race, running a race of life in order to get the prize. So what is the one practical thing that you can do that will help you fight the good fight, that will help you to take hold of your kingdom life? I want you to be specific. What is the one thing you can do? We need to be focused. We need to be disciplined. The third word, starting with the letter F this morning, is fight. Our fourth word, starting with the letter F, is finances. It's almost like Paul could have quite easily have just gone, that's it. That's the end of the book of 1 Timothy. But he does something really interesting. He takes almost like a time out and goes, okay, Timothy, verse 17, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant nor put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. And in this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. It's an interesting little sidetrack here. And you know what? These verses are for us. We are rich in this present age. And the message here is very simple. The message is, be humble. Be humble with your wealth. Trust in God and not in your wealth, which is so uncertain. He goes on and he says, enjoy what God has given you. I mean, how awesome is that? That we can actually enjoy what God has given to us. And that creates in us gratitude, doesn't it? Oh, thank you so much, God, for all the things that you have given me and my family. So we need to enjoy it. And we also need to employ what he gives us to build the kingdom of God, to build his kingdom. Essentially, what Paul is saying here is this: genuine wealth is found in what we give. Genuine wealth is found in what we give and not what we have. Another one of those kingdom life paradoxes. One of those things that it doesn't actually make sense. But genuine wealth is found in what we give. So how do you see your finances? Do you see yourself as a steward of the resources that you've been entrusted with? A kingdom steward. And I'm wondering, if you don't see yourself as a kingdom steward here this morning, what would it take? What would it take? What would it take for you to become a kingdom steward and to experience what Paul is describing in these verses? Now, I want to take a time out here, give everyone a bit of a break. And I want to take a few moments to introduce to you something very exciting. It's a new discipleship stream that we are launching next month. So I want you to have a quick look at this clip that we're going to play. Let's have a look at this.
Every day we handle money, but we're not always sure what's really going on. Things can get a little overwhelming. Saving for special occasions can be a real challenge, and we don't always come out on top. At the end of the week, do you know how much you have to spend? Going on a CAP Money course will help you get in control of your money. Learn how to build an organized budget. Get better at saving for special occasions. And set money aside for spending. The CAP Money Course. Budget, save, spend.
So it's my privilege this morning to invite Ross up, Ross Buttonshaw from CAP Money. Can we give him a big hand? Thanks,
hey,
Ross, for taking the time out to be with us. And Alison, great to have you here. Now, CAP Money. Tell us a little bit about CAP Money. CAP Money, I first came across CAP Money speaking to some of my colleagues on the east coast of our great nation, and they were telling me about this course. You've got to get this course happening at your church. It's releasing our congregation members. They're not being, held down by debt. They're getting free with their finances. And the other really awesome thing is we are reaching into our community and we're seeing people come to Christ through this course. So, mate, I probably stole all your thunder there, but tell us a little bit. Give us a snapshot about CAP's money.
The thing is, CAP Money grew out of the ministry, Christians Against Poverty, around Australia. I mean, people are drowning in debt. And out of helping thousands of people over the years, we thought to ourselves, we just want to stop people getting into debt. And so we work with the church as a mission organisation to our communities. And it was 2009, we said, what can we do to help people, help our communities, help our churches? So we brought together the course, CAP Money. And CAP Money is a powerful tool to manage your money. It's a three-week course basically to get... become a good steward of your finances. And the fact is that we've trained, I think, about 500 churches in Australia who run CAP Money. We see about 3,000 people each year, just like you guys in the church and in the community, go through the course. Awesome. And it really just helps you get the right things in the right place. The fact is that we've seen the other side. I don't know if anyone sitting here has ever been massively in debt, but it's not a nice place. People commit suicide. It's a really horrible place to be. But the flip side is a church filled with people who manage their finances well is a church that's reaching kingdom goals as well.
Yeah.
So, you know, CAP really is all about releasing people into freedom. So that's a real quick snapshot of why CAP money, why it's important to get on top of your finances too.
That's awesome, man. Great stuff. Now, I believe you want to just say something about the book and the resources.
So we're here to really, we're in Perth today. We haven't flown over here just for this, but it's great to be with the church. CAP is growing all over Australia. We actually want to give a book away and we want to engage with people because CAP is a missions organisation into our own communities. So often we see, you know, it's doing work overseas. Well, we're very evangelistic. We meet with people in their homes. We take them through a solution to get them out of debt. And we see people come to Christ all the time. It's fantastic. We want you to get excited about that because this will help you as you get involved with sorting your own finances. So we want to give you a free book. This is the book of how CAP started. It's really inspirational. CAP started 18 years ago with nothing. Our founder had no money, and yet we're in four countries working with the church, seeing people save, seeing people set free from finances. So we want you to get involved. We've got a little stand up the back. You'll see me, my wife, and Kelly, who's over here with us. And we just want to get this into your hands. We want to say, would you support CAP? Would you help us reach this nation and work with churches like yourself around here? So fantastic. Just an encouragement there. And I want to encourage you. It's a big thing, finances. And if you can get it right, you can release so much pressure in your own life and you can reach into other people's lives so much more effectively.
That's awesome. Can we thank Ross? Thanks, mate. It's really good. If you can take that. Thanks heaps. Thank you for taking some space to be with us this morning. And can I encourage you to go to, if you want to find out more, feel free to do that. I also, we are super excited because we are just about to launch our first discipleship stream in this area on Wednesday the 5th. And it'll go the 12th and the 26th. It'll start at 7 p.m. And you need to start saving because this thing costs a fortune to do. It is absolutely free. Okay, this course is free. And that's why we need to get behind this fantastic organisation. Now, I'm just wondering whether, Neil, you might just pop up so that most people will know who you are, mate, but there might be some new people with us today. This is Neil. Neil is going to be... Thanks, Neil, mate, for standing up. Also, thanks, mate, for... He's going to be facilitating our CAPS Money course in the life of the church, which I'm super excited about. And so if you would like to know more about this discipleship stream, this course, please speak to Neil, please speak to Matt or myself, and we're able to give you some more information. So our fourth letter this morning, starting with the letter F, is the word finances. Great. Let's move on to our final word, starting with the letter F, and it is the word faithful. Faithful. Verse 20, Timothy, guard what has been entrusted to your care. Turn away from godless chatter and the opposing ideas of what is falsely called knowledge, which some have professed and in so doing have departed from the faith. I believe Paul leaves Timothy and he leaves us with two challenges. And that first challenge is this, guard the deposit that has been entrusted into your care. And if you do a little bit of digging, you'll read that the commentators believe that what's being referred to here is that the deposit was a task, the task of resisting the false teachers. It was the task of being godly, and it was the task of faithfully proclaiming the truth, faithfully proclaiming the gospel. That was the first thing that he challenged Timothy with. The second challenge is don't waste your time, Timothy. Don't waste your time with godless chatter. Have nothing to do. Have nothing to do with this pseudo-intellectual jargon of the false teachers. It's dangerous to play there. In other words, Paul is saying, and he's ending this book with something that we've referred to many times on this Timothy journey, and it's simply this: watch your doctrine and watch your life closely. If you hear nothing else today, can you hear that? Watch your life and your doctrine closely. And then Paul goes on and he closes this wonderful letter with yours faithfully. He goes on with keep taking hold of your kingdom life. No, he doesn't actually say that either. He actually says grace be with you all. Grace be with you all. And the interesting thing about this is it actually highlights that this letter wasn't actually for Timothy only. This was meant to be read by the Ephesian church. This was meant to be read by us today, over the last 7 or 8 weeks, how many weeks we've been on this journey. Awesome to think about that, isn't it? 2,000 years on, we are to read this letter and be impacted by the words of God. So as we conclude, I just want to give you a couple of moments. A couple of moments just to reflect on the 10 verses. These final 10 verses that we've looked at. You might want to just close your eyes, bow your head. You might like to just jot some things down. But I'm just going to pray. Holy Spirit, in these next few moments, I just highlight truth. Lord, bring further revelation and deposit practical next steps, next actions in our hearts right now. I pray that in the name of Jesus. I do it. This morning we've looked at 5 words starting with the letter F. Flee, follow, fight. We've had a look at finances. And Paul's concluded with the word faithful. What has the Spirit of God, what has the Word of God deposited in your heart this morning? What is the one thing that you can do intentionally to implement or action what the Lord has said to you today? What is the one thing that will help you grow in your kingdom life? Jesus, it has been fantastic walking through this book together. Your word never ceases to amaze me that it is living and it's active and it's able to speak into our world and it's able to speak into our current set of circumstances. It's amazing. So I want to thank you. I want to thank you for everything that you have said to us. I want to thank you for giving us practical ways that we can grow in our kingdom life. Lord, by your Spirit, help us to be intentional. Help us to be purposeful as we seek to grow closer to you and as we seek to grow closer to each other. And Lord, I just feel led right now just to pray for people here this morning who have not yet fully surrendered their life to you. I pray that you would continue to speak to them. I pray that you would continue to reveal your love and reveal your grace to them. And I also pray that they would have the courage to seek you out, to find out more about you. And I pray these things in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. What has the Spirit of God said to you? Can I encourage you, if you would like to just process some of the verses that you've looked at this morning, or maybe some other things that this series has kind of touched in you, you know, book in a Kingdom Life conversation. We would be absolutely privileged to sit with you, to buy you a coffee, and to talk about your kingdom life. Maybe that's something that you would like to do. Maybe that's a practical step that you could put in place. Book in a Kingdom Life conversation with one of the pastors. Well, thank you, church. It's been a great journey. Grace be with you all as you go and enjoy the rest of your day. God bless. And can it be that I should get